What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Payne and Pendergast, Brandon Scott in for Seth Payne today. I'm just watching the video of Austin Wells of the Yankees wandering off second base last night because he thought there were three outs. In the Yankees loss.
That's one of those want to get away moments,
yeah,
right there. Remember the Southwest Airline commercials that used to be the want to get away?
Oh, yeah.
That would definitely be one.
Yeah, the game was tied at three, so they didn't lose the game, but it was the bottom of the ninth inning. I have no idea if the Yankees went on to win or lose the game. I'm just watching this video clip of Austin Wells. There were only two outs. He was on first base. Guy tries to bunt and get on. They throw him out at first. Austin Wells moves over to second, but thinks there's three outs, so he starts walking back to the dugout, and the guys on there, who are they playing here? The Braves, I think?
No, I think the Rays.
The Rays? Okay,
the
yeah.
Tampa Bay Rays,
yeah, they're playing the Rays, that's right, and just tags him. And I'd like to sit here and make fun of him, but I could see at least three or four guys on the Astros doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Definitely could see Jose Altuve wandering off second base.
Yeah. I mean, you got to lock in, but you could see it.
Jake Myers, oh. 100%,
yes.
Can see.
Yes.
And I feel like Chaz might have done that at some point. Chaz is another kind of spacey base runner as well.
Yeah, I would say Jose and Chaz are firmly planted at the top of this list of guys who would do it. And then they got a bunch of young guys, right? They got like rookies on the team.
Yeah.
Where you can see it happening with any of those.
Okay.
But out of the name brand guys, it would be those.
Now, you're doing something. This is one of my pet peeves. I promise I'm going to get to what I tease in a second.
One of my
pet peeves is when people blame like basic baseball things, and they call it a rookie mistake.
Fair enough.
No, you've been running the bases since you were 7 years old. That's like wandering off second base is not a rookie mistake. That's a dumb person mistake.
Yeah, but I also feel like it's a lack of focus mistake, so maybe it could be like you're just not that mature. It's fair enough,
okay,
though. Like you should already know how to run the bases long before you get to the major leagues.
Right.
I will give you that. But I just mean in terms of lack of maturity or lack of focus.
The
rookie's more likely to be hungover or, you know, thinking about something else that he ain't got no business thinking about in the middle of the game.
We're way out over our
I'm just saying.
More likely to be hungover. We've
been young men before.
You were the captain of the debate team back in the day,
I'm just saying. And I also was.
I'm anxious to hear your answer to this question.
Okay.
We're going to hear from C.J. Gardner-Johnson in just a second. Sean Pendergast, Brandon Scott with you here. Appreciate you tuning in. I asked John Harris this yesterday when he was on with me, Mark Vandermeer as well. I did a little bit of Texans radio with them, first segment, jumped in with them a little bit yesterday. I put up a poll about this question as well. I'll tell you the results in just a second. But here's the question. The Texans' first five games of the season, heading into the week six bye week, and I think a bye week being at week six is significant in this, are at the Rams, home for Tampa on Monday night, two playoff teams, at Jacksonville, home for Tennessee, a couple division games, and then at Baltimore. Your arch nemesis in so much as you can't, not only have you not been able to beat them since D'Amico Ryan's arrived here, they've beaten you like a drum every time you've played, right? You lost in the playoffs to them convincingly. You lost in C.J. Stroud's first game ever, the opener in 2023,
yep,
fairly convincingly. We know that Christmas last year was the worst Christmas ever because you lost 31-2.
Yeah, that one was an embarrassment.
To the Ravens. That was an embarrassment. So my question is this. Through the first five games, you have two choices of results through the first five games. Would you rather the Texans go 4-1 with the one loss being a standard garden variety convincing loss to the Ravens? The typical type of stuff. So you went 4-0 to start the season, but then the Ravens remind you that they're still your daddies.
Yeah.
Or would you rather go 3-2, not as good a record, but one of those three wins is a win where you go into Baltimore and not just win on a last-second field goal, but you're controlling the game in the fourth quarter. So these are convincing wins by either the Ravens or the Texans. So 4-1 with a convincing loss to the Ravens, or 3-2 with a convincing win over the Ravens. Again, going into a bye week where you're not going to be sitting for a couple weeks stewing on whatever the result of that game was.
So as a longtime radio host and noted pollster, and as the radio host that presented this segment, you will be proud to know that I spent more time sitting with this question than I should have.
Yeah.
Than a responsible adult should sit around mulling over this question,
which is
a good job, a reflection of a good job by you.
Thank you. Well, that's all I want is for people to think.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want people to sit and think.
I spent way more time than I should have thinking about this question, because it is like the hypothetical and some of the qualifiers in there they're interesting enough for you to think about where the team is in that space, right? Like, what does this say about the team? That's the big part of it. Not just the record, because obviously 4-1 is better than 3-2. Like, we don't need, we can do math, right? But what does it say about the team? How are you talking about the team? What's the context around it? All of that matters in how you answer this question.
This is a battle of math versus narratives.
Now, I think I'm still going to go with the math here after thinking about this for a really long time. So I'm not doing the lazy thing, Sean, where I'm like, well, of course I want to be 4-1.
I'm getting a lot of that.
I'm not doing that thing, but I do eventually land there. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. I have to think about, okay, so if I'm 3-2 but beat the Ravens, that means that I did lose two games against somebody else,
it means it's some combination
of those four.
It is a 100% mathematical fact that if you're 3-2 to start the season and one of those wins is over the Ravens, it means that you have either lost a division game, maybe two.
Yep.
Or
you lost the first two games of the season.
You lost the first two games, which includes the home opener on Monday night.
Right.
You've definitely lost either a division game or the Monday night home opener, which would be a big bummer. The Rams game, they're underdogs in that game, and I'd be disappointed if they lost, and I think they can win that game. But if they go to L.A. and they lose 27-20 in the opener, it's not the end of the world. The Rams are one of the better teams you play, and you're playing them on the road. Those next three games, though, the fact that Bucks are a good team, but the fact that it's at home, it's the opener, and any loss to the Jags or the Titans hurts. So again, like, that's where you start to think about the business you and I are in. Like, if you start the season 0-2. Or if you start the season, you would, by definition, be starting the season 2-2.
You would have to, yep.
So there'd be some sketchy weeks on the radio there. Whereas 4-0, you're riding high for a month, and then the Ravens come in and just kick you in the nuts.
And to be clear, I'm cool with the sketchy weeks on the radio and us having stuff to talk about and everything not necessarily being copacetic with the record. Like, I'm okay with that part of it, like from the radio standpoint. But as somebody that does want good for the team, I don't think I'm okay with any of those combinations of losses, right? So I don't want to lose to both division opponents. I don't want to lose the first two games. I think the only thing I'd be okay with maybe would be a split between, like, losing one of the division games and losing the opener against the Rams.
Okay.
If it were to happen.
Yeah.
But even in that scenario, I don't think I want to lose to the division opponent.
Okay, yeah, and again, this is now we're going down a rabbit hole, because now I start to think, okay, if you have to lose one of those division games to start the season, is it at the Jags where you'd be snapping your road winning streak in the division?
I do not want to lose to the Jags.
But do you want to lose to the Titans at home again?
I do not want to lose to the Titans.
Right.
So those are the teams now, and the Colts used to be this, but those are the teams now that I kind of hate the most in the division.
Way in. So far, 4-1 is getting the lion's share on the text page.
Yeah, it's 4-1 for me, but not just because of the math, because of the opponents and the teams that you play before that, and the combination of losses that would be there.
I understand. I get it. I know what that 2 weeks afterwards, that Ravens game, would be like.
It would be great.
It would, if they won that game, it would be great, and you'd feel amazing going into a chunk of the schedule where you go to Seattle and then you got three straight home games after that in weeks 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah.
The 4-1 scenario, that would be the most fun first month of the season that maybe we've had ever. 4-0 against the Rams and the Bucks, two good teams, and then two division wins in weeks 3 and 4.
Give me that.
But then I don't know if I can do 2 weeks of same old Texans radio after getting beaten like a drum by the Ravens.
Do you think that's what we would do, Sean, if you start off?
No, it's not what I would do. I'm talking about what the audience, the interaction would be like. I'm telling you right now, if they go 4-0 to start the season and then they get thumped by the Ravens, there will be a lot of same. They're not unanimous. I'm just saying it'll be out there.
Yeah, but even as we sit here, okay, it's the end of July. It's July 31st as we sit here right now. Let's just be honest about this.
Yeah.
These first five games that we're talking about, what would be the least surprising result, if we're honest about it?
Losing at the Ravens.
It would be losing at the Ravens out of all the five games. And so if you go in there, now those other ones could go either way. They're division games. They're against good teams and the Rams and the Bucks. If you win pick'ems, four pick'ems, and then lose the one game that we all thought you were going to lose anyway, I feel like reasonable minds would have to be able to accept that, and I feel like we would for the most part.
The poll is up on my social media, at Sean T. Pendergast. Brandon's retweeted it on the station's account, at Sports Radio 610. All right, let's play the little guessing game that Seth and I like to play when I put up a poll like this.
Mm.
Who do you think, what result? I'm on the text page right now, 4-1 seems to be winning. So someone says 5-0 now. I'm exhausted listening to this. You all lost me for the morning. I'll get out of here. Who do you think is winning this poll right now?
Yeah, I think smartasses probably have the four and one winning it, but it's not winning. Okay,
no,
let's go.
No, 3-2.
Okay,
52.5% of the people say they just want to slay the beast and go 3-2, the Ravens.
Yeah, I think that's being, in part, being a beaten and battered franchise by the Ravens. It speaks a lot to what the Ravens have done, the history that you laid out in the beginning of the segment.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of what's going on there.
I would rather go 10-7 and deep into the playoffs, possibly a Super Bowl, than go 12-5 and be 1-done in the playoffs. Well, duh. Yeah, of course.
At what point was that as?
No, it wasn't. It's the people that present options that aren't on the poll that frustrate me.
I mean, yeah, me too. Like, I agree with the texter, but I just don't understand.
I'd rather go 8-9 and go to the Super Bowl than go 14-3 and get knocked out in the first round. Yes, it's all about the playoffs. Yeah. And the one fair point I'm seeing here is that if it's about the playoffs, 4-1 puts you in a better position to get at least the 1 or 2 seed. I'd rather be 4-1. I can listen to that.
Let me give you another side.
I chose 3-2.
I'll give you another side, though, to this.
Yeah.
And you, as a Texans historian, will appreciate this.
Okay.
And this isn't like deep history. This is recent history. It's not like beating them really says that much about, like, we'll do a lot of radio on it and hey, what does this mean for the Texans getting this monkey off their back sort of thing? We'll have those conversations.
Yeah.
But it's not like you haven't seen the Texans, let's say, beat the Chiefs in the regular season and then get up on them 24-0 in the postseason and then lose to them.
I had some people present that to me.
Yeah, so that's there too. The ultimate get back against the Ravens is not going to be, as much as I would like for them to win that game.
Yeah.
It's not going to be week 5 at the Ravens. It's going to be the divisional round or the AFC championship game, wherever it is that they meet.
Well, I can tell you right now, if they lose to the Ravens in week 5, the narrative going into the playoffs is going to be, you've got to be somewhere where the Ravens aren't on the bracket. You know what I mean? You got to find somebody to do your dirty work for you. I'm not saying they can't beat them. That's what people are going to be saying about that game.
Yeah, but I honestly think that that's fair until it actually happens.
Yeah.
Like, even if they beat them, okay, we can have a different conversation. But all of that feels fair until they slay the dragon in the playoffs.
Good question, man. I'm proud of myself. This poll's been split like right around, like it's hovering right around a pick'em, right around 50-50 the whole time.
I sat with this, it like just in my head for at least 30 minutes.
It's what like it means for those first, it's almost about what it means for the other four games and the possibilities as much as it is that Ravens game. Either way, that is a fun first month plus of the season.
Yeah.
That's a fun schedule, man. Two prominent NFC teams, including a Monday night game, two division games, and then the Ravens in Baltimore.
I honestly was excited enough for it, but thinking about it in this way and in this context got me even more excited for the first 5 to 6 weeks of the season.
Yep. You know who thinks this is a Super Bowl caliber team?
Who's that?
CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Mm.
I've been on a lot of good Super Bowl contending teams. I've been on one Super Bowl winning team. I think, let's talk about the contending teams. They all have one thing in common. They're hungry. They're ready to continue to work. And I don't want to lay our bed or say anything to put anything out there, but this is a Super Bowl team right here. Super Bowl caliber team. You guys just go out there and show it week in, week out, and start from practice. Start from meetings. Everybody's a Super Bowl contending team because we all high caliber players in the NFL. So we go out there and compete. We got to understand who's next to us, who's across the ball, and we got to understand that this is a job for us. We got to get it done.
I'm not saying this affects my handicap on the Texan season at all, but his opinion, CJ Gardner-Johnson's, when it comes to something like this, the potential of this team, is one that matters to me more than other guys. He's been on a contender or an actual champion the last three seasons.
Yeah, like literally fresh off a Super Bowl. Yeah. Champagne fresh off his breath. Not literally.
He's got his ring like two weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, so he understands and knows it. I just like how he's like, I ain't going to say too much or put too much on this team, but this is a Super Bowl caliber team. Like, he's like, I'm going to stop just short of winning the Super Bowl or going to the Super Bowl.
There's nothing left.
But we could, though.
And we might cure cancer.
Yeah.
We might cure cancer.
Does not every team, we know this because we've seen teams that are not like this, but most teams usually go into it feeling like, oh, this is a Super Bowl caliber team. Like, a lot of teams say that.
Seth says
especially
that
ones that go that have gone to the playoffs recently.
Seth talks about that a lot. He says the one thing that all 32 teams have at this time of year, all 32 teams are diluting themselves into something at this point of the year. You know, like everybody's got hope.
I mean, I remember the 2021 Texans being righteously indignant about being counted out.
Well,
and we saw why.
And then they blew out Jacksonville in week one.
We told you.
And it didn't hold up.
Philip Lindsay's in there like, how dare you?
A week later, David Culley's declining penalties for the right to punt on fourth down.
Was that the Patriots game?
It was the Browns.
Browns game, yeah.
Yeah, it was the
that
Browns
did happen.
Week two. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What a fever dream that season was, man.
Yeah, but at training camp.
Oh, yeah.
How dare they count us out?
Everybody's believing, man. Yeah. Everybody's believing.
But to CJ Gardner-Johnson and to his point, I think he's right.
Yeah.
I think he's right in terms of the talent and the potential. There are just some obvious things that we already know about that have to come together that we have real questions about.
Yeah.
And until we get those answers, we won't know how close they are to be. I've said this. They are at least what they've been. Are they more than what they've been? That's the question.
I think it's going to be a really good pickup, the CJ Gardner-Johnson pickup. Just watching his energy. I mean, he is a definite line straddler when it comes to physicality out of training camp.
Yep.
His level of thud is more thuddier than other people's level of thud. Thud is you're just allowed to kind of bump guys and like you can hit him up, but you can't bring him to the ground.
It's his edge.
Yeah, yeah. And think about where they would be with Jimmy Ward out, both injured and with his legal situation. I don't know who'd be running with the ones right now at the safety position.
Probably MJ Stewart.
It'd probably be MJ Stewart, who's really a special teams journeyman type. They might have signed somebody else had they not made the CJ Gardner-Johnson trade. They might have picked up, but it wouldn't have picked up anybody as good as CJ Gardner-Johnson is the thing if he weren't here. You know, there might be another body here, but it wouldn't be as productive a player as he's been. He's got 12, 13 interceptions over the last couple of years. Here is C.J. Gardner-Johnson on how he's acclimating to Houston.
Football started with Houston, so I'm here with a new chapter of my life. Like I said, I closed a chapter of my life with Philly when I went to ring ceremony. Did everything we could do. Now I'm here, ready to play football with Houston Texans. Focus on my new teammates. I can't. That's the past. The more I sit and think about what happened, I will never be the best version of myself for this team here. So I'm happy. My family's happy. We're all good and ready to continue to go out here and have fun.
Dude, CJ Gardner-Johnson, it's wild. It feels like he's had to address more questions about places he's left than even Stephon Diggs did last year.
Yeah.
And Stephon Diggs is a guy who left his previous two stops with the bridge smoldering. You know?
Well, the thing is that CJ Gardner-Johnson is just a step below probably like household name, you know, superstar type of player. But he does seem too good to be on the move as frequently as he is. So it does seem like that's part of the reason why he's there. It's like, you know what? You're just a little too good to always be available. What's that about?
It's a great point. Because Diggs, it takes 4 years to tire of him, it would appear, in the past. Whereas CJ Gardner-Johnson's on a new team every year.
Yeah, it's 1 to 2
literally
years.
Literally every year.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, and to your point, it's usually a really good team that wants to have him.
Yeah.
But also the really good team that wants to see him go.
I think this is the first time. I'm going to go out on a limb. I think this is going to be the first time in like 6 years that C.J. Gardner-Johnson comes back to the same team.
Oh, it's early,
2 years in a row. Well, it's early, man. It's a limb I'm out on right
now. It's early, buddy.
I'm not going to sit here and wait for 8 weeks worth of data, man. I'm going to go out on a limb right now. One more from C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He says he was on a champion last year, and now he's chasing a ring.
It didn't, because I don't play for no more. I ain't defending nothing. I'm actually chasing it now. I'm hungry, like you said. They're prey. Like, I got to go hunt them. Like, they're champions. When you're a champion of something, you become the prey to a lot of predators. So there's no shot at them. It's just you got to understand, like, when you switch sides of the ball, switch roles, I got to go hunt again.
What kind of predator are you?
I don't sleep. I feel like coming here, I got to get better. As a man, as a teammate, father, and whatever these teams call me to do, I'm here to put my best foot forward.
For a guy who's on a different team every year, he's very self-aware.
Yeah.
Did you watch him on the Pivot podcast?
Yeah, I did. I thought
he was excellent.
No, he's self-aware. He's insightful. But he also is that person, though. It seems like whether you're interviewing him or just having a conversation with him, you ever be around people that, like, you're just poking and prodding just to get them to talk more, just because you want to keep hearing them talk?
Yeah.
You know, like, so you're just asking them questions because you're kind of looking around the room, smiling, like, what else is the guy going to say?
Well, yeah.
He's one of those kind of people in conversation.
Yes.
Like, let's just keep talking. Let's just keep this thing going, because Who knows what might come out of this guy's mouth.
He's going to say something. Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to have him on the team.
Yeah.
A lot of people weighing in. On the 3-2 and beat the Ravens versus 4-1 and lose to the Ravens question. 4-1 seems to still be kind of winning on the text page. It's losing on my Pender poll that I put up. But people are making great points on the reasons behind both. 3-2, this is a case for 3-2. And if you're just getting in your car, I put up an either or. One of these two scenarios, these are the only two you can choose. 4-1 to start the season, but lose to the Ravens convincingly going into the bye week, or 3-2 to start the season, but you beat the Ravens convincingly going into the bye week.
Both cool scenarios, by the way.
I'd take either one.
Just to be clear, but we're not fence straddling. We're picking one.
Take either one. And for those of you weighing in saying 5-0, yes, I'd rather go 5-0, but it's thank you for pointing out that. Yes. I really appreciate everybody pointing out that 5-0 is a better record than
very smart.
4-1.
Very smart.
This was a good case, I thought, for 3-2, which is the one I chose. Bad start with a new line and a new OC would be understandable. Being good enough to beat the Ravens is a good sign for the overall season.
Nah, I can take that
last part is the only reason I'm picking 3-2. The first part of that answer is a great reason to rationalize the 2-2 to start the season, which is, hey, a lot of new moving parts on offense. You know, I don't think they're going to lose shootouts. You know, like, I don't know that teams are scoring 30 on this defense, you know?
Yeah, well, this is also, I like the logic here from the texter, because it's also why I nitpicked the, okay, because we can't straddle the fence here, but which games am I losing, right? You know, I did that whole game because it's like, okay, if I can accept losing to the Rams, all right, I don't want to lose Monday night at home, but if you're telling me, hey, we're slow playing our way into being the team that we're going to be.
I don't know, man. Coming in the Tuesday after an 0-2 start is not something I would look forward to.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't.
There's no good scenario of 2-2. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I obviously don't want to lose the home opener. I don't want to lose. And I don't want to be 0-2.
Yeah.
So, okay, that means I'm losing a division game.
Yeah.
But if you're telling me I'm getting better through that process, and through getting better in that, I showed you by beating the Ravens, then, yeah, I'm interested in that.
Now,
so, yeah, it's an interesting question.
It is, yeah. Keep weighing in. 713-572-4610 is the text page.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last.
Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So you saw the thing with ESPN this week that did they rated the under 25-year-old cores definitely. Of NFL teams. And for the second straight year, the Texans are number one in that exercise, which I'm largely fueled by C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, but they point out Derek Stingley Jr., blue chip player. He's going to age out of under 25 this year. But Kamari Lassiter, they gave a lot of love to in that article. They also pointed out that there's a lot of pieces in this rookie class that are promising. I was thinking about this yesterday after rereading that article again. The rookies, and it's training camp, and some of these rookies are going against twos, not ones. Now, Jaden Higgins has been getting his fair share of work, working against twos and ones. Ariante Ursery is the number one right tackle now. So he's working against Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter on like 90% of the snaps out there. This, so far, so good. We get asked about a lot of things out of camp. How's CJ doing? How's the offensive line look? How's the defense look? We get people asking about the rookies. I think probably not as many questions just because for the second straight year they don't have a rookie that was a high pick where they had CJ and Will and they had Stingley before that, and even Kenyon Green was a first round pick. I will tell you this, if you're wondering how the rookie class is doing, I would say it's absolutely so far so good. I mean, Jaden Higgins is making plays out there that are NFL plays, you know, not only in OTAs and minicamp he was making plays. He's making catches. He made a toe tapper on the sidelines the other day, contested. That was an outstanding catch. Ursary is running with the ones right now. I think that unto itself. Granted, running with the ones in an offensive line room that's in complete rebuild mode. But he's had his fair share of decent reps for a guy who's in first week of training camp going against two Pro Bowlers. Jalen Knowles made some nice plays in camp. Like, both receivers from Iowa State have looked like they belong. Jalen Smith, the DB out of USC, has had a bunch of pass breakups in team drills. Woody Marks and Jawar Jordan. I know Jawar's not a rookie, but he kind of is because he didn't make the team last year, and now he's back. This is the first training camp where he's really getting some reps.
And he would have been an older rookie, but I would almost lump him into this just since he hasn't really played.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting reps with the twos. That wasn't happening last year.
Yeah.
But Woody Marks, specifically, the rookie out of USC, is really taking advantage of the reps that have been vacated by Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce being out. And even the day three guy, like Graham Mertz is making a – I'm not saying Mertz – fact. If Mertz is factoring into this season, then it's been a horrible season for a variety of reasons. But for a six-round guy they drafted, he makes a throw or two every camp. Jalen Reed, six-round safety, had a pick six yesterday. You know, Luke Lachey is a seventh-round tight end. He's made a few plays here and there. Those are the day three guys. You're not relying on them. You are relying, I think, on Jaden Higgins.
Yes.
You are clearly relying on Ariante Ursery. You are relying on Jalen Knoll, who might get reps returning kicks too. He's been amongst the guys doing that, and he's the only one returning kicks in practice. B. Scott, that's not a bubble guy. Like, he's gonna make the team. The rest of them are bubble guys. Jalen Smith. Like, that's the one. Like, a lot of people said, hey, Jalen Smith, you know, I had him down as a day three guy, and the Texans took him in the third round. Well, the Texans aren't afraid to draft guys where they feel they should be, and he looks like he's belonged so far. Like, so far, so good with the rookies.
And I would add that Jalen Smith feels like a guy. Like, I know when we say rely on, we're usually talking about starters and guys who are contributing heavily, but you do rely on your depth to a large degree, right? Like, it's not like we haven't seen the corners miss time before. We understand Derek Stingley Jr.'s injury history. I know he was healthy last year, but this was a question. We talked about this. This was a question about the team going in, and it's like, okay, where is their secondary depth, particularly cornerback? What does that look like? You know, so why they were signing guys off the street well into the offseason, right? Just, you know, leading up to training camp. What does their depth look like? Oh, you might have drafted a piece. That, to me, is, you know, speaks to a reliability if you're feeling good about him coming through training camp, or as you get through training camp, if Jalen Smith is somebody that you feel like, hey, if something happens to one of my corners and I got to throw him out there,
yeah,
or if I want to have a more traditional slot corner in there and, you know, like maybe I use Jalen Petrie as an extra linebacker, or I want to run dime packages or whatever it is, here's a guy that I can rely on. That to me is a pretty big development when we're talking about
huge.
This group of guys who we already were expecting them to rely on. The Jaden Higgins, Jalen Knoll,
yeah,
and of course now the Arriante Ursary combination there.
It's one thing to get three or four contributors and even guys you feel good about giving second contracts to. Like, you get three or four out of a draft class, you're laughing.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they should hit, not everybody, but people think like, oh, if you only hit on half your picks, what happened with the other half? It's the draft. Like, not everybody hits.
I feel like we named five possibles for this year.
I do. Well, and it's
from this class.
And what I was going to say is, it's one thing to do it when you're drafting second and third in the draft. Like, it's, yeah, you know, good job. You hit on the second and third overall picks in the draft. We're talking about two straight drafts now where – last year, they got two, what I think can be high-level starters. Kamari Lassiter already arguably is a high-level starter based on his numbers.
Yes.
I know that he doesn't resonate around the league as much as the two guys on Philly do because they won the Super Bowl. If Kamari Lassiter were on the Eagles, he'd be getting the same love that Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean are getting right now. Period, point blank. Kamari Lassiter is an excellent NFL football player, and Kalen Bullock is good with the potential to be great. So that's two. Kate Stover is vastly improved. You know, Blake Fisher looks like he might be a miss right now. We'll see. It's still early in his career. But those are three guys right there. And then we just named five guys here early in training camp that are popping. If you're getting three or four guys and you're not picking till 34th or 42nd in the draft, that's an excellent job of evaluation.
Oh, but not only – this is worth pointing out as we're talking about this. Not only just not picking, but actively opting out, like, punting from the first round.
Trading out of the first round.
They traded out of the first round in back-to-back years. Now, we understand the previous year there were, like, Stephon Diggs implications and they were, you know, what they were trying to do there. But both years they did it. And then when they drafted in said second round, they appear to get an immediate contributor. Last year with Kamari Lassiter, and it looks, I would be shocked if Jaden Higgins doesn't play a significant role on this team. So they've not only found the, I won't say diamond in the rough, second round is still pretty valuable, but not only have they done a good job drafting in the second round, they've actively sought to not pick in the first round to do this. Like, they've done it on purpose.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
That ESPN exercise is fun. And if I had to guess, I think the Texans are going to be number one next year, only because CJ and Will both have another year being under 25.
Yeah.
And we just rattled off a bunch of guys that could be contributing for them. You know, Stingley will age out of that exercise, that under 25 core. But Kamari Lassiter is still there. Kalen Bullock's 22.
Yeah.
You know, and all these rookies I just named in this class are all 23.
Who knows what you'll think about them in a year?
Yeah.
Like, they could completely change the narrative and trajectory of this list based off of how they play as rookies.
Now, here's what's funny, B. Scott. I say funny. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, the Texans were 32nd in this exercise. The year, the 2020.
Yeah.
Coming into the 2021 season.
Yeah, the season I referenced a while ago. Yeah, I'll never forget it.
They bumped up to 26th the next season because they had drafted Stingley and Petrie, and they, you know, they maybe had a couple other guys that looked like they might be some. 26 still ain't great. That year, the exercise of which teams had the top 10 core of under 25 players 3 years ago, intuitively you would think, well, three years later, this should be a slew of teams that are Super Bowl contenders or perennial playoff teams. So in some ways, I'm kind of poking holes in something that's giving us a lot of optimism about the Texans.
Sure.
Now, the fact that the Texans have done it 2 years in a row, I think is a little different than some team just rising up and doing it. These are the top, I'm going to rattle these off. These are the top 10 teams that had the best under 25-year-old cores heading into the 2022 season. Number one, Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, man.
Number two, Los Angeles Chargers. Playoff team. Okay, playoff team. Number three, the New York Jets. Remember, that was the reason Aaron Rodgers wanted to go there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they had that great young core.
Feels so long
And now
ago.
They're the Jets again. Yeah. Number four, the Atlanta Falcons, who are, I think, are just a mid-team this year, probably.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the worst division in football.
Number five, Miami Dolphins, who Mike McDaniel might be getting fired. That was the Dolphins. That was at the period of time for the Dolphins where they could really start to brag about all the things they did with the Laremy Tunsil draft capital they got.
Yeah.
Like 3 years into those picks. And now where are they? Six, Jacksonville. Seven, Detroit. Okay.
Okay, that's the first team that you've mentioned that you might would rather be right now than the Texans.
And what have they done? They've supplemented that 2022 class with Sam Laporta and Jahmyr Gibbs and Jack Campbell. The point of this, eight, Philly won the Super Bowl,
yeah,
which is going to back up my next point. Nine, Cincinnati. Ten, Tampa Bay. The point of this exercise, especially with Detroit and Philadelphia, like the lesson learned is that you got to keep doing this.
Yes.
You can't have draft classes. You can't follow up two or three, like two good classes that get you into the top 10 on a list like this with two clunkers. The league is just too unforgiving when it comes to that.
Yeah.
The Lions and the Eagles kept drafting well after that.
Well, and the ability to hit on beyond the obvious, mm-hmm, right? Which is the credit that we're really giving the Texans here. It's like, yeah, they got the second and third pick from 2 years ago, but also hitting on picks beyond that second round and beyond.
Yes. The Chargers, or not the Chargers, the Lions got it right with Aiden Hutchinson.
Right.
I know he broke his leg last year, but Aiden Hutchinson is an excellent football player. They got it right with him. But they got it right a year or two later with trading up to get Jahmyr Gibbs,
right,
and drafting Sam Laporta in the – I think they traded to get him too. They, yeah, because that was the Texans' old pick from the Cardinals trade.
Those two weren't as obvious as drafting Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah. So you've got to be able to do it with draft capital that's not quite as premium. So, but I think the Texans are going to be at the top of that list next year. Now it's got to turn into playoff runs, you know, to the point of – you know, some of the texters saying, you know, I don't care what their record is through the first five games. They need to get past the divisional round. I get it. I hope, you know what I'd rather? I'd rather they go 0-5 and make it past the divisional round. How's that?
Yeah.
For those of you weighing in with alternate scenarios to my poll question.
It is the reason why I ended up landing on, hey, even if you beat the Ravens, I'm not going to overreact to that because.
Oh, see, I will.
You know, well, I will at the time, but more so big pictures. Like, I'll in the moment,
yeah,
we'll be hype about it, but I'm not going to be like, hey, they're going to the Super Bowl now.
No. And when it comes to handicap a playoff game in Baltimore, it'll factor in, but it doesn't mean you're picking the Texans to beat the Ravens in Baltimore in, say, the divisional round or a chance to get to the Super Bowl. I get that.
Yeah, beating them at Ravens is significant, I do think.
Yep. All right, Brandon Scott in for Seth Payne. Seth will be back tomorrow. Have we been the most diva-proof city in the NFL when it comes to a certain position? Saw an interview with a couple guys on the Texans yesterday with the NFL Network. I'm like, man, how did we get so lucky with this? We'll talk about that coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, final segment, and we'll hand it over to the guys on Texans Training Camp Live, John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. We're in studio today. No Texans practice today. They're back at it tomorrow. They're at the Greenbrier next week. And Seth Payne and I will be out there at in West Virginia, keeping you up to speed on everything going on. Obviously, on the air, we'll be on the air, but you got to be following all the socials next week because we'll have all kinds of updates. And we'll be checking in with the other shows as well here, morning, noon, and night. So we're looking forward to that very much.
Follow us on TikTok. Since you mentioned socials, I do want to plug that. We're on TikTok now, folks.
Man.
You know, the world is changing, and sports radio is now on TikTok. So we want you to follow Sports Radio 610 on
What's
TikTok.
Is it just Sports
Radio? Yeah, Sports 610? Radio 610.
Well, that's easy to remember.
We kept it very simple,
and
very
I can
easy.
Remember that.
All of our social media platforms are Sports Radio 610, except Twitch, which is 610 Houston, but everything else.
There you go.
Sports Radio 610.
There you go. And if anybody knows, it's this man to my left right here.
That's
he
right.
handles all that stuff.
I am admin.
I am admin,
yeah.
So NFL Network was out there yesterday at Texans training camp. They interviewed a handful of guys, including they did a sort of a combo interview with Nico Collins and Christian Kirk. And so we're going to play a cut from that. Both seem very happy to be playing alongside each other. Nico's been cycling through teammates here over the last few. Obviously, the first 2 years was just a complete revolving door. For Nico Collins' purposes, I don't even count 2021 and 2022 as part of the back of his football card.
Dude has seen some dark days around
here. He has. Some of these guys like Brevin Jordan and Titus Howard, I'm like, yeah, I've seen some things, man. I've seen some things. But the last couple of years, you know, 2 years ago, it was Nico and Tank and, you know, probably, what, Robert Woods in there.
Yeah, Robert Woods, yeah.
Last year we knew it was supposed to be just over the moon with Nico and Tank and then Stephon Diggs coming here. And that, in terms of all of them playing together at the same time, didn't really come to fruition at all the way we thought it would. Now it's Nico with Christian Kirk being the vet, and then we'll see how these two rookies get mixed in. And then you got a bunch of guys that are fighting to make the team like Xavier Hutchinson and John Mechie, John Mechie's had a good couple of practices the last couple days, so he's battling to make the team. But Nico and Christian Kirk are the two guys that, if I had to bet, are going to be the leading receivers on this team. It would be those two. They did a sort of a group interview yesterday with the NFL Network and talked about how happy they are to be playing alongside each other.
It's a blessing. You know, we know what CK brings to the team. You know, he's in the slide getting busy. You know, he make plays, man. It's an honor to have him part of the team. You know, I learn from him every single day. And so it's only right. We continue to grow, continue to learn from each other, and keep building.
And then for you, Christian, not only to get traded, but within the division, like, what was going through your mind when you heard you're leaving Jacksonville and now you're coming to a division rival in the Texans?
Yeah, I mean, I was just really excited for a new chapter and to join an organization like the Texans. Obviously, playing against these guys, playing against Nico, I got to watch real closely what they're able to do, and to be able to pair up with him and watch him work every single day, say it all the time, it makes a lot of sense of why he's been so successful the past couple years and why he's really one of the best at his position. And so I'm just honored to be able to be in the room now, be a part of this culture, and help take this thing to the next level.
I see the smile over there. You like what he's saying, huh?
My dog, man. It means a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was, the two of them are there just, and it's great. They're teammates, and they get along great, and they feel like they're going to complement each other. I'm just watching this. Like, Nico is an elite receiver in this league. He's, in my opinion, a top five wide receiver in the sport right now. Christian Kirk's really good. Got a nice big contract a few years ago, and he's a really good football player. I'm just watching these two. I'm like, man, we've been pretty diva-proof at the wide receiver position historically. Like, we even got a version of Stephon Diggs that wasn't a diva version.
That's why it was such an outlier.
It's in the water here, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins, I think, kind of, you know, the level of quarterback play he had for most of his careers could have really lashed out like a lot of receivers do, and he didn't.
Well, think about the Stephon Diggs point. They incentivized non-divaness in the way that they acquired him,
that's
right?
That's a good point, B.
Like, they trade for him, and then they guarantee that year, you know, so give him more money up front, but then make him a free agent with an opportunity to make more money after the year.
Right, they
so
kinda,
be on your best behavior
they kinda,
type of scenario.
They kind of diva-proofed him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I said disincentivized divaness, but yeah, that diva-proofed is a more efficient way of saying
it's like
it.
Like rush-proofing. It's
exactly what they did.
Yeah.
So they either acquire non-diva receivers, or in the rare cases in which they do, they diva-proofed them and then send them on their diva way. Because what did he do after? As soon as he left.
Oh, he's on a boat.
He linked up with Cardi B.
Passing out bags of pink powder to a bunch of, I don't know.
Whoever's.
Models, OnlyFans. I have no idea who they were.
Everyone who's attractive is a model now. That's the beautiful thing about this era. It's like you don't have to actually be. Being a model used to be a profession. Right. Now you just simply have to look good and be able to work a camera.
Look good and put stuff up on social. It's the same way like that's. If you just want to put some audio out there, all of a sudden you're a broadcaster.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's it, man.
Look good, keep your phone charged, and you're a model.
And you're a model. Yep. You're a broadcaster. You know the irony of this whole thing, this whole diva thing, is that as I go through the litany of, I mean, the Texans haven't had many great receivers in their history. Like, it was Andre Johnson. You know, they've had, like, you know, Kevin Walter was a good number two for a number of years. So I'm not, like, diminishing guys, like, the careers they had.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, like, Pro Bowl caliber, potentially elite level receivers. Yeah,
it's Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, and then this guy,
and then Nico Collins. And if I had to just talk about guys that maybe kind of had a sniff of that or maybe made a Pro Bowl somewhere else, ironically, the guy who's probably been the biggest diva out of all of them was Brandon Cooks, who was brought in here specifically to not be a diva.
Yeah.
He was a hand-picked Easterby guy.
But to be fair, it didn't seem like he became a diva until the very, very end.
Right, but he ultimately was.
Yeah, on his way out.
I'm not going to be part of a rebuild. After getting an extension, a two-year, $36 million extension, now I'm not going to be part of a rebuild. You knew who you were signing. This is why I get mad at Trey Hendrickson holding out and agitating and this and that. Like, man, you knew what team you were signing with. The Bengals, you signed with them the one off season they decided to splurge. You know, they happened to hit a scratch off that off season that they could go spend on you and DJ Reader and Mike Hilton. But no pun intended, a tiger doesn't change his stripes here.
Right. Yeah.
They're ultimately
literally still a very, in this case.
Very cheap franchise. Yeah. Like Brandon Cooks, you signed that contract with Davis Mills as your starting quarterback. Like, where did you think this thing was going?
Yeah, no, I mean, all of that.
Sorry, Davis, I didn't mean to have a drive-by on you there, but it was what it was back then.
All of that being fair, but at the same time, we got to remember how we talked about that team. Like, Brandon Cooks, diva at the end, we all agree.
Yeah.
But that was also the team where Brandon Cooks was one of the few players' jerseys that you might buy. Like, Brandon Cooks, Laramie Tunsil, early Derek Stingley days, eventually, yeah. I guess. Because that's, yeah.
2022. Yeah, because he was on the team in 2022.
Yeah, so, but I mean, he was on the team before that. So 2021,
he made plays in that game that got them the second overall pick.
That's right.
He converted a 4th-and-13. Like, Brandon Cooks had one of his best games as a Texan in the one game that most Texan fans didn't want them to win. And then, as it turned out, winning was the absolutely right thing to do in that situation.
It's just wild that the Texans had created an environment that would make a diva type Brandon Cooks, because he was that to the team. Like, he was the number one guy, and inexplicably their best player, their best offensive weapon.
Hey, remember earlier in the show? Hey, remember 30 minutes ago when we were playing clips from the loquacious CJ Gardner-Johnson?
Yes.
And you were talking about, like, hey, man, just ask a guy a question, just get him talking, see what he'll say,
because
he'll just keep talking and talking and talking. I know who the opposite of that is on the Texans.
Oh, yeah.
As we're getting ready to head out here in a minute or so. This is Cade Stover being asked what he did this summer.
All right, let's go back to the farm, feed cows, work out, catch football, and do it again next day probably.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Sounds like a hell of a life, man.
Good talk. You're right. Like, that seems like that's how you did a conversation with, hey, good talk.
Do you think that Cade Stover has ever been on a vacation? That's my question. Like, if anything, you're going to want to take like a week to clear your head, it's being an NFL football player.
I'm sure he's been on a vacation. I'm just curious on what his vacation version of vacation looks like.
Has he been on a vacation outside the state of Ohio?
I could see it, but couldn't you see him as like somebody that works on a vacation? Like does things that feels like labor?
Yes.
Yeah.
I could see him finding farms where he goes on vacation and offering to help out.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, no, he hasn't. Because that don't sound like vacation.
Not my kind of vacation.
Exactly.
Yeah. His kind of vacation.
There you go.
B. Scott, appreciate you, my man.
Always fun, man.
Yeah,
always fun.
Appreciate you. That's Brandon Scott. Seth Payne back in tomorrow. We'll be back out at Texans training camp tomorrow as well. Texans training camp live is coming up next. In the loop after that. Followed by The Drive, followed by Area 45. I say all that to say keep it tuned to Sports Radio 610 all day long.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.